KMAN.
Good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm your host, Brandon Peoples. We start the work week off here today with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, assistant professor at the Kansas State Department of Communication Studies. Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
I think we missed you last month here. We had, obviously, it was the holidays.
Yes, right, yeah.
Things off, but first conversation we get to have with you here, and there's a lot going on in the news here right now.
Yeah, there is. There never seems to be a shortage of questions about politics or dysfunction or how we're not getting along very well.
Yeah, I don't know that I remember a time more so in our political history here, and I'm sure there have been other times, but right now, we've really reached the peak here of not being able to get things done in Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, actually, over the weekend, I was working on a paper. So academics, we have part of our job is we have to publish scholarly things and all of this stuff. And one of the things that I've been trying to finish up is an article about some of these things. And I was doing some research on this. And in fact, there was a study in 2016 that looked at Congress as the example for our polarization, and so tracking it through, I'm not going to get into the minutiae here, but basically figuring out where people fall, kind of the spectrum and things like that. Long story short, this, as of 2016, so we've gotten a little bit worse since then, this is the most polarized Congress that we've had since the 5th Congress, so in 1797. So we have had some really serious things like civil wars and but other situations that have really divided the country in some significant ways. But when we look at the way that politicians have been divided, this is the most extreme since very early on in the Republic. And I think that's really significant because we've – even in those other times of serious challenges, we've had politicians who have been – As the article that – or the book I was just referencing a moment ago, you know, people kind of danced cheek to cheek in the middle. These politicians, Republicans and Democrats kind of overlapped one another in some significant ways. And as we've seen recently with the shutdown and other things, there's not a lot of conversation happening in that space. And I think that doesn't necessarily bode well for us in a basic kind of functioning governance way. But yeah, so to your point, we've been through some tough times, but this is definitely one of them as well.
Were you surprised at all when on Friday when the president announced that a deal, at least somewhat, had been reached here with Congress?
Yeah, well, it was like I imagine many people kind of following this pretty closely, either for immediate personal effects, you know, if they were employed through the federal government or contractors or were associated or just were wanting to know what was going on since this has extended for so long, the longest in history. But yeah, there was an element of surprise, especially given the fact that all of this was built around certain expectations and requirements. And then at the end of the day, what was agreed upon was what could have been agreed upon about 35 days prior. It was basically identical to what was what had been passed in December. So or by the Senate before it stopped on the way to the president. So there was something really kind of strange And I think the president caught a lot of flack for that through the press and through others kind of asking you know, what was this for, largely. And so we'll see. We have a short stopgap. We have about 3 weeks. We may be right back where we were, but who knows? Fingers crossed, things might be a little different.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, obviously the federal government shutdown really affected a lot of government workers here that were – you know, going without paychecks here for a couple of weeks, they'll get paid. But, you know, in the meantime, it was a difficult situation.
Yeah, no, there were definitely people that I was interacting with regularly who are federal employees and seeing them and having that kind of daily conversation just of like, hey, you know, what's going on? And there for a little while, it was like, yeah, they'll figure this out. And then as it kept kind of dragging on, it was this longer sense of like, you know, they're saying maybe months, who knows, right? I mean, so all these kind of contingency plans were starting to come into play. And some people have the capacity to buffer some of that, you know, got some money in reserve and things like that. But for others, and as we've discovered, there's a very high percentage of Americans, whether they're federal employees or otherwise, who live paycheck to paycheck. And it becomes this kind of snowballing effect that people are impacted by these kinds of things. So while it may just be played out as kind of politics of a bargaining chit, for others it's really impactful. I saw interviews with some people who or in second chance programs, and if they have to pay their rent on time to stay in the programs and these kinds of things. But if they don't have money, this was I believe a guard at the Smithsonian who was speaking to this particularly, and right, I mean, so all of a sudden this person's trying to kind of improve and better their life, kind of a second chance opportunity, and then all of a sudden this fight that's happening with our legislators and the executive is impacting them, not just in the immediate ways of having income at that moment and a job and a place to go, but, you know, the long-term effects. And so, you know, the IRS, the day of the shutdown, said they will be now 12 to 18 months behind on all sorts of things because they haven't been able to hire for the tax season. So I think we'll continue to feel the effects of this, let alone if something else happens in a few weeks.
Yeah, and I imagine a lot of people are probably like me. They see this, the reopening of the government here, at least through February 15th, and they're like, okay, this is good for now, but we probably have another one of these coming here pretty soon.
Right, and some of the legislators, particularly the senators, have kind of raised the question, you know, we need to pass some legislation that will help us not get to this place again, right? So the question, is this the shutdown to end shutdowns? Because largely it comes because of a calendar year and the way that appropriations are laid out, that as it's being proposed by some senators, that they would pass legislation that would basically say, if we can't figure it out by the end of a calendar year, whatever is will continue, and that will hold us over until we actually do figure something out. So moving away from this idea of using the leverage at the end of a December, right, to say, hey, if we can't figure this out, we're going to shut this thing down. And I mean, that's just not fair. I mean, let alone to the 800,000 people who are employed. Again, the employees, the contractors, the businesses who are affected by a shutdown, those kinds of things. I think it's the reverberations are significant. The argument is, you know, as the president has made, you know, this is something that's really important. You know, the response to that is, well, why did it only become an important thing now? So I think stepping back a little bit from the politicking of this and thinking more about the governing is really what needs to happen.
All right, we've got a caller here, our first caller of the show here. Good morning. You're on In Focus with Dr. Timothy Schaefer.
Good morning. I hope you can give me some insight to this. In 1947, they had term limits for the president enacted in the 22nd Amendment, something like that. Anyway, how do we do that with Congress? They weren't supposed to be people that were in there for life. They were supposed to be there, you know, a term and then go home and learn what's going on and come back maybe a few years later. Does the American public need to do petitions to the state governments to put that through? Because I know Congress won't vote for it.
Yeah, no. I thanks to the caller for that question. I think the issue of you know, term limits comes up especially in these kind of scenarios. So one is, as the caller just noted at the very end, it's highly unlikely these individuals are going to vote for themselves not to continue in seemingly perpetuity for some scenarios. The other way is, right, I mean, in a very practical kind of government sense, states could do that. Right now, we're seeing the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, kind of showing back up on the front pages of certain states, Arizona and Virginia. Virginia just kind of squashed that idea, but there are mechanisms for term limits. I think the broader question, though, as the caller was raising, is, you know, the model was largely set up not for career politicians, and I'm not using that as necessarily a pejorative, because there's something to be gained from having institutional memory and these types of things. But the idea was that these were ordinary people, and they, you know, practically still are in some scenarios, who go pass legislation, these types of things, and then kind of cycle in and out. What has happened, though, is there are a few compounding factors. One of them is that it's not a bad gig, and once you kind of get into the system, then you kind of stay in that scenario, and for all sorts of reasons. But the other side is, or another dimension is, that there's like not a whole lot of incentive to kind of step out of some of that. And so, so there are some of those structural pieces that come into play. Another factor, that would, I think, change some of this, and this is the argument that's a little bit more, how do I want to say it? I don't want to say is possible, but the number that we have in Congress, for example, has not always been set. It's grown a few different times, but it's been stuck at the level that it is now for a really long time. And the argument that some people make is, and it's understandably so, that representatives, especially in the House, are representatives of way more people than they ought to be. So there's not that ability to have that level of interaction with them. So one of the this is a little fun fact for a Monday morning. One of the first amendments that never passed, so it was one of the initial amendments that kind of died, was this idea of pegging the House of Representatives to a certain number. And if we would have followed that, we would right now have about 6,000 representatives. You can begin to, I mean, right, you're kind of having a little smirk there. The reality is that'd be a whole lot of people. The other side is that gets a little bit more complicated from the standpoint of like, hey, you know, K Street, I'm over here. I'm going to give you a little bit of money. It's not the same way that the game can play. I mean, so that's more of this kind of ancient democratic tradition. Athenian democracy had something like that. They had this idea of sortition that you basically showed up in the common square, the agora, as they called it. And every day you might be the legislator, depending on what marbles you drew, if you got a black or a white one, and you were the legislator for the day. Implication was you had to know what was going on, and then also you couldn't be bought in the same way that we kind of think of politicians being dirty these days. So there are some other ways that people are really, I think, challenging the model that we have maintained for so long, just because we're seeing it not function very well. This is, you know, not even stepping into the question of gerrymandering and all sorts of things, competitive districts. But, I mean, to the caller's point, I think the underlying idea is how do we not think about politics just as an elite group of people functioning separate from the interests of those that they're representing, but how do we also kind of reclaim that position, those positions, and think of it being more situated and grounded in the context of the communities that they're representing?
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to have more on the government shutdown here with Dr. Schaefer when we return. We'll get to more of the root of what caused this government shutdown here next on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.